Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
J. Cross, how good would you say you are at the guitar?
I would say I...
Your three choices are beginner,
yes,
intermediate,
yes,
or advanced.
Probably beginner.
Okay, excellent. How would you like to move up to intermediate?
I'd really like to be an intermediate guitar player. That's the only thing I've ever wanted to be.
Good. That's about as far as you'll get.
Yes.
Unless
You
use Guitar Tricks.
Okay, tell me more.
Guitar Tricks is an excellent website to teach you how to move from beginner to intermediate to advanced guitar.
Okay.
Whether you're just starting out or whether, you know, you should be better than you are.
Like me.
Indeed.
Yes.
Guitar Tricks will help you move through those stages as a guitar player. And good for you, J. Cross. We have worked together with Guitar Tricks to bring a 14-day free trial to not only you, but to the listeners of the Guitar Nerds podcast.
So that means I can try it for 14 days, and if I'm not into it, just cancel it.
You can, indeed.
But I'm probably going to be into it.
I think you probably will.
Okay.
You'll notice a swift advancement of your guitar skills.
Excellent.
So do you want to know where you can get this offer?
Where can you get the offer?
GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks.
Can you repeat that for me?
I can. GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks.
Is there like an app that you can use, or do you have to do it on your computer?
GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by J. Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Shalom.
Oh, that was very loud.
Well, why'd you do that?
No. Jay, you're not quite in shot there. You probably need to move over slightly
for the benefit of those watching.
You've moved round. Thank you if you're joining us live on youtube.com/guitar nerds videos. And Jay is in the chat if you are watching live. Feel free to have a chat with him, you know, talk about what we're talking about in the episode, or just, you know, tell us how you're doing, that sort of thing. If you are joining us on the audio podcast, hello. I think tonight we're going to talk about, we're like a week away from now.
Oh my goodness, there is a surprising amount of like news
because
I was the one who told you it was embargoed, but that news that I shared with you both earlier, I cannot wait, listeners and viewers, for the 19th of January. That's when a load of embargo stuff comes up. I will be able to
Maybe we should do something.
Oh, I can't wait to drop
live
some of the
on the 19th.
That's what I said.
Absolute rubbish that's being announced on the 19th is unbelievable. This is going to be an all-time new level of low.
So the 19th is Thursday.
Okay.
I think we should do a bonus NAMM podcast on Thursday.
Can we? We could do that. I don't want us to all have to be here, but maybe we could.
Oh, I see.
Oh, well, no, I'm just saying. It's a lot of effort.
Wait, who do you want to be here?
Yeah, no,
who
just,
don't
just
want
me to be here.
Right, okay.
What I'm saying is a lot of effort for us all to get together to talk about NAMM live on the stream. What we could do is from the comfort of our own homes, do a little Skype podcast or a little Google Hangouts.
Okay.
Where we can all get together and feel all right.
I don't really like Google Hangouts.
Well, okay. Why?
No, I just don't feel... They don't feel as authentic as like a Skype call.
That's true. True. You may notice that Matt Knight is not here because he is on his way to NAMM doing his thing with Boss, but I'm sure he's going to come out with plenty of stories about other things that he's seen on his lunch break and stuff like that. I'm sure we'll hear some things from him. So, yeah, we're without with one Matt Knight down this
week.
We are
nightless.
We are indeed. How are you two been? Jay Cross, you had a show last night.
I did. I put on a gig last night. It was very good.
Oh, yeah. My friends went to see that because the band supporting that band that you always put on were apparently quite good.
Dead Swans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Loads of my friends like Dead Swans.
Okay.
I just find it weird when we have...
You've got a moustache and a terrible beanie hat and a load of really bad tattoos and some of your mates like Dead Swans.
What are Dead Swans then?
They're like a hardcore band.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So how did the show go? Any notable gear?
Not really. What with it being a punk show, the first band had the first band was this band called Rough Hands from Brighton, I think, and they had some cool guitars going on. One guitarist was using remember that Ibanez kind of like surfy looking.
Yeah,
I can't remember the model, but one of those Ibanez surfy looking guitars, but in like a sort of mahogany, like a rosewood finish.
Yeah, I remember the ones. Yeah,
and the other guitarist,
RC, isn't it?
RC, yeah.
The one on the Rocor, and the other guitarist was using a Firebird.
Really?
Yeah. So it was like that was a really cool little setup.
One of the coolest guitars that you just never see. Well, they don't really. I guess they're always in and out of production.
They didn't make them for a long time, and they've always been quite expensive. Yeah. I remember when I first started getting into guitar, Epiphone used to do a really good Firebird.
What about the... didn't Epiphone do a Joe Bonamassa Firebird recently?
I think they did, yeah.
A single pickup one in like a ridiculous colour.
Or was that a Gibson model?
Maybe it was. Oh, maybe it was Gibson, but it was super affordable.
Yeah.
Like it was like $1,000.
Yeah.
For a one pickup Firebird in like Inverness green or something ridiculous. Maybe it wasn't green. Maybe I'm remembering that slightly wrong, but it was damn cool. I mean, there is nothing cooler than Firebirds. Maybe a couple of things, but Firebirds are definitely up there.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. Jay's run off.
No, he's all right.
The stream is really dodgy, and I was just seeing if I was something I could do about
no,
it.
No, I'm sure it's all good. Well, for the benefit of the audio guys, let's all stay around the table.
Well, I just wanted to have a quick look, see if there was something I could do, that was all.
So, Joe Branton, how's your week in gear been? I see that you've been eyeing up a particular Dynelectro bass.
We're at Dynelectron, my friend.
Dynelectron,
if you remember.
I do remember.
We had this kerfuffle previously. I was looking at that, to be honest. It was just because I saw it in my sort of you may like on eBay. And so I was like, oh yeah, I like.
You're like, I have Googled Dynelectron enough times now that it's started to come up in my eBay recommendations.
It's so cool. I mean, I just think the opportunity to have a good quality Dynelectro, because Dynelectros are so cool.
Yeah,
they are wicked cool guitars with really interesting, unique body shapes. But you do take a hit. You do take a quality hit, especially on the modern ones.
Like, yeah,
they do. I don't know if they do it a lot on the guitars, but on the basses they do these concentric controls where the volume and the tone
they've had that on some of the guitars, definitely. Right.
The problem is that they're plastic and it's like quite a lightweight plastic. I mean, they feel like a cola bottle tops sort of thing. They're really flimsy plastic.
I guess they're supposed to be like Bakelite style, aren't they?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. But the problem is that because they're so lightweight, they catch each other. So you turn down the volume and you also turn down your tone.
But that's just the same with any concentric controls, like the Fender Jazz Bass.
No, they're all right.
No, I don't know where you've got this myth from that's the concentric stuff's cool, because
it is cool.
It's not. I mean, it looks kind of cool, but I just feel that they just don't work very well.
Well, either way, these ones certainly don't. And that's sort of the problem. So, yeah, you do take a bit of a hit. And of course, you know, the Masonite thing, I think, gives them that quality, that sort of sound that Dynelectros have. But it is cool to be able to get, like, this well-built Dynelectro-styled, like a proper sort of 60s, like, psychedelic style
so
instrument.
What's the deal with like the construction on the Dynelectron?
So they're solid order.
Okay.
And then like the hardware will be very good. The Dynelectro always use those wooden bridges.
Yep.
It's a proper sort of modern style bridge, proper tuners rather than sort of the small, certainly on a bass, like, you know, it's proper tuners rather than the mini guitar ones that you get on the Dan Electros. And then, like, you know, metal control knobs. It's well built. It's the bodies are bound like a really thick white binding, especially around the Longhorn. That looks super cool. And they do a guitar version of this. It's not exclusive for sort of like a bass only thing, but it is. They are super cool, and they're still like good money. It's still like less than £1,000 for a Dyna Electron second hand, which is pretty cool.
What sort of age are we talking at that one that you were looking at?
I think it was like late 70s. I think that's when they were sort of
that's,
about.
You know, that's going to weigh an absolute ton.
It's
but a solid
so tiny.
Older from it's, the late 70s. No, it's definitely going
to
break.
No, it's going to be fine. But that, to be honest, I was looking at that only because it came up. I'm going through another phase at the moment.
Okay.
So the new phase is quality.
Right.
Right.
Because you're not a man known for quality. You're usually sort of chintzy tat.
Yeah. So I'm going through this. I want something high quality. You know, okay. I'm thinking like, so.
I often think that about my podcast co-hosts.
Yeah. Great. So I'm thinking like, you know, I might not use this life. I might. But I might not. But it would sound amazing on recordings, and it would sound great to play. I know that I can.
Are you saying the Dyna Electron is quality or isn't quality?
Oh no, I'm saying that's not quite that. That is all. Look, I mean, it's good. Yeah, it's cool. It's definitely cool.
Yeah,
but I wanted something that could do everything. Kind of maybe a bit session. I was looking for something that had an edge. So I started to look at.
Did you go for the Adam Clayton signature jazz bass?
No. Yes. Boom.
No. I feel we've got off to a slow start this evening. I'm just trying to interject a bit more pace into it with some dad jokes.
You're a fool. So I was looking at some things. I was like, maybe I want something that's interesting. So I was looking at fan fret stuff. So I started looking at Dingwall. And I...
What's wrong with you?
You're an absolute Dingwall.
Well, you can get an entry-level Dingwall for like £1,100. And I was like,
can't.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get one.
Well, I was like, this is cool. And then I was checking out Marasuzik... come on, Jay, help me out here.
Marusicek, maybe?
Marusicek.
Anyway.
Marusicek. Anyway, those guys. And they're cool because what they do is you can get like classically styled and classically finished like jazz basses. So I can get like a white jazz bass with a torque guard and matching headstock, rosewood neck dot inlays,
okay.
Fan fret.
Why? Well, I don't get it. Why? Look at me and click and say fan fret like I'm going to go, yeah, that sold me.
Well,
that's
okay.
Like the absolute negative.
Anyway, they were 1,100 quid and I was like, oh, that's good. That's good. But then I sort of, you know, the fan fret thing didn't last long. A couple of days and then
like everything.
Okay, so fan fret.
Right.
The point of it is that...
Right. Go on. Tell me what the point of it is,
The
Jay
point
Cross.
Of it is to do with, like, intonation and stuff, right?
No. Almost closer. It annoys me when people are like, it's to do with the fact that your hands fan, but no, it's to do with tuning. So it's to allow for like dropped or lower tuning. So the idea is because it's fanned, because it fans out, your lower strings are on a different scale length to your higher strings.
Yeah, okay.
So that you are more able to do sort of drop tunings to ludicrous levels.
But surely that only matters if you're tuning the lower strings to a lower than the higher strings. Like,
well,
if you're dropping the, if you're not necessarily drop D, but if you're like going low, but you know, you're playing drop D but like detuned.
It's sort of, it gives you great, you don't have to, because it gives you great attention on your low strings, and low strings are lower tension, so it's nice to have sort of a tighter low end for if you want punch. So there's some really good reasons behind it. Anyway, that didn't last too long.
Of course.
So then I was like, no, what I just want something with like something with a reason that it's like something that's constructed super well with loads of thought into it. So I started looking at mayonnaise.
I bloody love mayonnaise.
Okay,
so good.
Well, I was looking at the Polish guitar and bass manufacturer Mayonez.
Okay.
And they do some brilliant stuff for like around £1,400, and they're really cool. Like the necks are all sort of those like five pieces of wood construction, sort of jatobery babingery sort of things. I was really into that. That was really cool. But I was like, oh man, yeah, it's a bit of a coffee table thing, but still really, it's still really up there. And then I was like, you know, I went through some others. I was looking at Roscoe, Sandberg. I was looking at Exotic. They're really cool. You get like the wood finish pickups with Exotic stuff. They do cool guitars as well. We should talk about them. I'll do a brand of the week on Exotic. And then Vigier, who will be a brand of the week soon. But I then sort of discovered Vigier, and they do these absolutely cool as stuff.
I mean, that looks like something straight out of the 80s.
Yes.
For those who can't see it, it looks
the
like...
the Vigier XS.
A coffee table with a couple of like big, chunky soap bar humbuckers on it. Do you get a free mullet with that? Because...
come on. Even, like, look, XS is written in this weird, like, Comic Sans sort of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air sort of...
that does look like
font.
The Fresh Prince logo.
But it's super cool, and the pickups are these wicked, like, custom design things that Vigier do. And the really cool thing about Vigier is that they're all about their carbon fiber necks, carbon fiber reinforced necks, so they don't have truss rods in there.
From the bass that I'm looking at there, and again, if you're listening to this, you can go to the Vigier site and have a look. That looks like a regular wooden neck.
Yes, it's carbon fiber reinforced. So instead of a truss rod, you have this. It's called like, it's the 90-10 system, meaning like 90% wood, 10%.
Okay. Not as in
graphite.
This bass looked out of place in 1990.
No.
Okay.
No, that's not what it is. Anyway, okay.
This bass was worth 10% of its original value by 1990.
Well, no, these are book price for these is like $2,500 or $2,200. Fortunately, I found somewhere that's got a B-stock one for $1,700. But anyway, I haven't quite found the right thing yet. I'm not sure this is quite it. It's close. I haven't got there yet, but I'm going to find a thing, and it's going to be super well built, and it's going to be a proper boutique-y thing, and I'm going to find it. I welcome advice.
Something to take it to the next level, if you will.
Yeah.
The level 42, if you will.
Oh, come on. It's not that bad. Look, I don't want something that looks like a sexual aid, but I'm saying that not far off.
I mean, that looks like the exact opposite of that, in that that is the most boring thing I've ever seen.
No, it's super cool. And I was looking at loads of things like that. So that's where I am. I'm sort of in a position where I am looking for a super cool...
I'm willing to suspend my initial criticisms of Vigier,
right,
in that is everything they do fretless?
What? That was fretted.
Okay, that was fretted. Okay, yeah, see, yeah. Okay, so this is... I had a bit of a bad experience with Vigier.
Oh, okay.
In the when I was managing a shop, the rep from Vigier was desperate for our shop to become a Vigier stockist.
Right.
Because the rep lived in the town that the shop was
in. I didn't know that.
And
that's interesting to know.
This was a while ago,
oh,
but was really keen for us to be a stockist, and we were like we were not in a position to take on new brands. It was, you know, we weren't in the right place to do it. We also didn't want to take on Vigier, but
why?
You know, that's by the by.
Oh.
This was like close to 10 years ago,
right?
So it's
okay, so
you know,
Warwick,
maybe not,
Warwick had just like fallen
maybe
out
not
of...
quite 10 years ago, but it was a while ago,
yeah.
And anyway, we had like very categorically told this person that we wouldn't be taking on Vigier. Not long after, someone came in and they said, oh, I've got my guitar. I'm a Vigier endorsee and there's something wrong with my guitar. I got in touch with the rep and they said to bring it here and you would be able to forward it on to the Vigier service center. And I was like, okay, sure, I'll see what I can do. And I got in touch and the rep was like, oh yeah, that's fine, we just need to set you up as a dealer so that we can...
Nice.
And it was like they totally conned me. So like ever since then I've really had like, I've just been like, oh, Vigier, I don't care.
So,
but like I'm willing to, because I realise that that's a little bit petty, because it's been like 18 months since I've worked in the shop now.
Yeah.
So I can let the past be the past. And
I'm sure for legal reasons, they had their best intentions at heart, and they wanted to make sure that the customer was getting a great experience, and they were introducing the Vigier brand to a whole load of new customers, and they were going to form a very close and loving partnership with said retailer.
So I think... Yeah,
I'm sure.
Vigier are properly super cool. I really like the ethic of the shop and the fella who set it up. He's got a really, like, honest... blurb on his website about sort of why he makes guitars, and he talks about something that I thought hit us on the head, as it were. But actually, it made me think, damn, I'm going to start representing this side of stuff within the podcast.
Modern
stuff, because he was basically talking about how the guitar community is such a retrospective, and that nothing's ever going to move forward unless people sort of...
It doesn't need to move forward. Leo Fender got it right first time.
Well, yeah. There's the thing, isn't it? That's sort of the argument. But I really love the fact that he's sort of so Vigier's necks will never be ruined.
Yeah,
you know, that's a thing. That's so much better.
That's true.
So you mean you're always going to have super low action, sure. And. So it's better then than everything else,
sure,
on the market.
Sure, and when you go to sell it in 10 years' time and no one wants it, you can be proud of that fact that you'll be stuck with it forever.
Oh, no, that's not going to be the case.
Of course it is, because you've literally just said that guitarists are stuck in the past.
Well,
and so whether you like it or not, like, it's going to be the traditional stuff that's going to hold its value.
So
once again, it comes down to the fact that, yeah, sure, buy that guitar, just don't get annoyed on the internet when nobody wants to buy it off
which
is always my problem with like, you know, sort of quote unquote niche guitar brands.
Yeah,
when people
BTP
are like
brands,
but
yeah.
I spent $5,000 on this, why doesn't anyone want to buy it? This is a bargain, I'm selling it for $3,000. It's like, because it's still $3,000, mate.
No one
bought this custom model that has got my name inlaid. Like, no one wants to buy it now. I paid like $5,000
for this.
The funny thing is
that isn't the idiocy the other way around. What we're talking about is something that was £5,000 and people won't buy it for three, yet we sit here saying how good Fender and Gibson are when they make crap guitars.
I mean,
charge too much.
Absolutely
for them.
Not true.
Well, no, they do make guitars that are sub quality of most other boutiques.
You know,
charge
who you sound
more
like.
Money.
Do you know who you sound like? You sound like an egg on Twitter.
Yeah,
that's who you sound like. You sound like someone who
Bob Gibson. Bob.
That's exactly it.
They do not. You cannot possibly be saying that something as mass produced as, say, the Fender Professional Stratocaster is worth its price tag of £1,400.
Of
in
course.
Comparison to you know, something by Ormsby, Mayonnaise, Strandberg.
Let me introduce you to a little economic concept called supply and demand.
yeah, it's fair point.
But
I'm
also,
just saying.
These things are more than the sum of their parts. You know, they're not the components and the build quality. You know, it's a Fender Strat. That's the difference.
Yeah.
It's a legendary guitar.
Yeah.
And you're buying into that.
Yeah,
you're
sure.
Not. Whereas, you know, Mayonnaise, for example, I'm sure are high quality components. I'm sure the build is fantastic, but it's not a P bass.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, fair enough. Anyway, what I'm going to do is start talking about these brands loads more because I actually
think. Do you have to?
Because I think we should. I think we should be talking about sort of the new and interesting stuff. And the thing that I found out recently is that this is, at the moment, we're going through a massive influx in smaller brands. Like, okay, so not many people know, but a lot of these brands, so brands that you should check out, like people like Mayonnaise, Vigier, actually not them because they do have their own factories, but Strandberg, Ormsby...
Yep.
What's that? Oh, what's the Anderton's fella called? Chappers.
Yep.
Chapman Guitars. And a load of others are all made by World Music Instrument Co., which is a Korean factory. They're all made in the same place by that company. And the quality coming out of that factory is so good now that it's not just... Because that factory used to do, like, Dean, PV... stuff like that, like entry level stuff, and now they're doing Ormsby and Strandberg, which are great, like really high quality, really unique, interesting, new modern guitars. And that's pretty cool that those guitars are coming out there. And I think more and more companies are turning up all the time because World Music Co. Have the ability to make these guitars to the spec of designers. And it means that more modern stuff is now easy to make. And I think we're just going to see loads of these really interesting, cool, unique companies springing up. And I think we should talk about them.
But you say that like we don't talk about these companies.
Oh, no, we
you
do. Know, we do.
When you here you are sort of pushing yourself as the saviour of modern instruments against the gargoyles that are the rest of us. You know, we do talk about these companies when something interesting comes out.
True.
In the same way as, you know, it may sound boring us talking about Boss or talking about Fender or talking about Moore all the time. But that's because they're constantly bringing out new stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and it's constantly very good. I completely agree, and I think stuff is about to change. Not that those companies are going to get worse, but I think that there are a lot of companies producing a lot of cool things. So look at the guitar that I've got. Obviously, listeners, you cannot. I am showing an Ormsby guitar from their new Guitar Run 6.
I mean,
and I love the ethic of this company.
But my problem with all this is you've shown me a guitar that fundamentally no human being in their right mind could actually like.
What are you talking? No, you're so wrong. No, that's such an individual opinion. And you can't do this. You can't hate on the modern players.
You can't hate on the modern players.
The Fender modern players.
I like the Fender modern players. Cool, they're really good. I thought they were good. The Deluxe Tele, the thin line one, that was cool.
It was terrible.
But it,
like, it was a bad guitar, the Deluxe
Tele.
But that guitar
in particular that you've brought up there.
Uh-huh.
It looks like...
We're talking about an Ormsby model here.
This looks like it has been recovered from the music room in the Titanic.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's covered in barnacles.
Yeah, yeah, that's super cool. But anyway... Okay, so Ormsby do some absolutely blinding finishes, including a pink to purple burst, which is incredible. Anyway, I love the ethic behind this company. They do guitar runs, so they might do I think it's 8 models per run, and they make them for a short period of time and that's it, and then they come up with a new 8.
Okay,
I think that's so cool, and it'll only be subtle differences
this is the difference. That's not going to dethrone Fender
isn't that cool, isn't that exciting?
It's exciting if you've got $4,000.
No, that's the point. No, these things are like £1,500. They are competing with Fender for price,
but they're not competing with, like, that guitar isn't gonna you know someone comes in and they say, oh, I want a Fender Strat, you're not gonna go like, okay, I hear what you're saying, however look at what the Titanic recovery team found this week.
Joe, I'm sorry, wait. Again, sorry if you're listening to this. I apologise. This has been one of those episodes where Joe is just showing us things on a screen. But the headstock on that guitar looks...
like a shark?
Horrendous.
Yeah, it's their shark headstock. It's pretty cool. Anyway, it's super
cool. But you're never going to buy one of these. Like, you're playing devil's advocate here.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that these things are really exciting and fun and cool, and I'm really bored of talking about the same stuff. Like, what have we got on our news to this week?
Well, let's find out. Should we dive into the news?
Oh yeah, let's do that. And I bet it's all boring in comparison to all these super cool, awesome new guitars. I think stuff's gonna happen this year. New guitars, modern awesomeness is gonna be everywhere.
Sorry to interrupt this no doubt awesome episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast, but I need to tell you about Patreon. Patreon is a place where you'll hear things like this.
What? Why are we putting an ad in the middle of the podcast?
And things like this. And things like this.
You know, I was... you're putting me on the spot.
From as little as $1 a month, you'll get this podcast ad-free, so you won't have to hear this.
Look, I can't think of anything to say. If you'd have prepped me about this, I'd have been, like, solid. I'd have been making funny sort of witticisms.
And from as little as $5 a month, you'll get more of this.
I could talk about the quality of the Branton rant on. Oh, I get angry about things on that. Oh.
And from $10 a month, you'll get this.
Oh, I just read out names for $10 a month. It's actually terrible value for money.
Patreon.com/guitar nerds.
That's my prediction. Let's do some news.
We're actually not talking about any of the regular companies.
No, no, you say that. Oh, we always talk about the same stuff. So first up, we talk about this lot a whole bunch. Vox have just announced three new MV50 amplifiers. Joe Branton, I believe you have the deets.
Well, we can all sort of talk about these, can't we? So the MV series by Vox is pretty cool. The idea behind it is first of all it's a mini amp, it's a micro amp head. They've done three in the series, and it is the MV50 because they are 50 watts in an amplifier head that can fit in the palm of your hand. That's pretty cool.
Wait, hang on a sec, sorry, what you're saying here is that this amp that is unique selling point, this guitar amp that has a unique selling point of it is small and light.
Yeah,
is cool. But when it's a bass amp is small and light, that is a stupid USP, and we shouldn't be celebrating it.
No. This amp knows its marketplace. It is simple and affordable. And what's cool, like the difference is when companies like Mark Bass and Galeon Kruger make lightweight amps with no tubes in them and a Class D power section, and they sound naff, and people buy them going, oh, it's so lightweight, and they don't actually think about at all the way things sound. Anyway, this isn't a Branton Ranton, it's the standard podcast.
This episode is turning into a bit of a Branton Ranton. Tell us about these MV50s then.
So it's this new concept that Vox have come up with called new tubes.
Yes.
Which is, this new type of tube specifically designed for these amps, which allow them to pump it's Class D power section, valve pre.
Oh, you love that.
Yeah, I know. But still 50 watts, which is super cool. And they've released three amps in the range. The AC, can you guess what that sounds like, Jake Ross?
I reckon it sounds like AC Slater from Saved by the Bell.
Exactly what it sounds like. Yes, the AC30, the legendary AC30. That's the idea of the voicing behind that. Then the other two, they've very creatively named. I mean, the marketing team behind this, Top Marks Vox, really forward thinking. The MV Clean and the MV Rock.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, what an ultimate dad's name for a product. But anyway,
it's Rock. Cool. I don't mind the Clean. The Clean is fine.
So the Clean
Rock
is, can you guess what sort of amp the Clean is?
I'm guessing they're going Fendery.
Yeah, and can you guess what amp the Rock is?
Probably Marshall-y.
Yeah, that's what it is. So that's sort of the idea behind it. But these are super cool, they're super affordable. They come with, you can buy them individually or they come with their own 8-inch speaker.
Yeah.
Which is good. So I think like this is a unique, very useful Vox app. I don't understand why Vox continue to compete with themselves. I mean, they must have five different amps sort of in this area of the market now.
No, I don't think so. Not really. Because, I mean, you know, in terms of what Vox do in a, you know, travel portable range, there's only really the Night Train. And the big issue we've always had with the Night Train is that it isn't it's like a metal voiced amp, you know, it's not a classic Vox sound amp. Yeah. Now,
aren't they doing a AC4 head though?
Don't think there's an AC4
I didn't
head.
Think there was a head. This, oh, that's okay. Passed me by. That
okay,
might
maybe
have,
not.
I might have missed that.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I think it's just the I think it's just the Night Train heads. So you know, this is how much are these? Do we know?
They are something like... Joe, have you got
no,
it there?
I don't know.
I thought they were between £200 and £300, something like that. That may be completely off, okay. But I seem to remember them being that kind of money.
The only problem is, you know, this is sort of treading that dodgy...
£200 for a head.
Okay. This is treading that, like, dodgy middle ground where it's half and half. Like, you know, you've got people out there like Orange and at one end of the market, and I guess Kemper and, you know, at the other end of the market, who are putting out these amps that are fully solid state and making them sound good.
Yeah.
And so the technology is out there now. Like, if you don't want to do a full valve amp, then you don't have to do a full valve amp.
Yeah.
And it's just, I just think it's a little bit weird that there's this... Well, half and half.
What I think's interesting about this, and I'm remembering this and will probably misremember this, and which I think you haven't actually brought up there, Joe, this new valve technology that they're claiming there is something that Korg either invested in or bought like a year or so ago, or 2 years ago.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, because I remember it coming up like at a NAMM as well. Like, something like that. They were going to be doing this YouTube thing.
I think it was another company and then they bought them. Yeah. And it was basically a way of shrinking full-sized tubes effectively down
like
to a tiny...
Rick Morales movie.
Yeah, Honey, I Shrunk the Tubes. Yeah. Yes. And this is the first product, I think, that has got this technology in. So interesting to see what they're doing with it.
There are some videos that they uploaded, and I was kind of, I mean, you know, my genuine opinion on these sort of things. I was expecting them to sound naff, and they sound good.
Okay.
Like, especially the AC. I mean, I don't care about Fender or Marshall amps, so I didn't actually watch the other
two. You didn't watch the Rock version?
No.
The MV Rock?
But the AC sounded really good. What?
It doesn't matter. Very good.
There you go.
Oh. Was that a wrestling reference?
It was a reference to Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, yes.
Okay, fine.
When he did that song, It Doesn't Matter.
With Wyclef Jean.
He's got 50 Bentleys in the West Indies.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know.
Anyway, let's move on. Some more news from Mad Professor Effects, who have been pretty prolific recently. They've actually announced something else in the time... well, in fact, this morning, which I don't have notes for, so we'll talk about it next
week.
But they have indeed. There's another pedal. But let's
announce it all at once.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. Let's talk a bit about the Twimble, which is...
Yeah, the Twimble is super cool. So it's a new... It's a drive pedal, so not massively revolutionary, but still a really, really super cool take. So it's a 2 foot switch... drive, but it has an overdrive section and a pre-drive section, both foot switchable, which is really cool. And I'm really into the controls on it, because it has like on the drive element, you have like a contour control, which allows you to the same as, I guess, contour controls appear a lot on bass amps. I don't know how much they do on guitar stuff, but what it does is it allows you to isolate a frequency range that you want your drive to focus on. So you can make your drive really sort of focused in the low mids and sort of boost that area. So it's a cool idea. And then you've got the pre-drive element, which then has an accent control, which allows you to sort of like pan through frequency sweet spots and sort of focus the sound that's going to go into the drive. So you can control the drive itself, but also you can adjust how you're going to sound going into that.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Foot switchable as well.
Yeah, that's foot switchable.
So
as well.
I guess it's kind of like having a make gooder a pedal before a drive. I think that's
in
kind
one
of the
box,
answer. In one box that you can leave one part of it switched on or you can switch it off. I really like the idea of the focus control on the drive. I guess it's doing things with the mid-range.
Yeah.
That will...
Mainly, yeah. I imagine it's just moving the mids around.
Tighten it up, yeah.
But I like... it's sort of... It's got enough on there that there's no way you couldn't make this exactly what you need.
Oh,
and
yeah,
that's
yeah.
quite nice. You can, you know, sometimes with drives especially, you might just not be able to use a whole drive pedal because it really wasn't for you. Whereas this is kind of, for all intents and purposes, without hearing it, sounds like it's for everyone, which is really cool.
From what I understand, this is based on another pedal that they already do.
Yes.
Which is called like, it's called like the Rimble or something.
The and this Symbol, is
the
I
Symbol,
believe.
Yeah. And this is a twin
version.
Symbol, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me a little bit of that. Do you remember that Green Child G777 that we demoed?
Which you really liked that
there
one.
Somewhere, isn't it? And... yeah, just like two.
That was your favourite drive, wasn't it?
No, I actually preferred the Walrus 385.
Oh, yeah,
but the
right.
Green Child G777 is really good because it's got a similar thing. It's essentially got a boost in the front end and then a drive with effectively the same thing as that Focus. And that works out really well. That works out really nicely. So, yeah, be curious to see how this one sounds.
I am looking forward to it.
Indeed. Jay Cross, you've been doing some investigative reporting on the Moore micro preamp pedals.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about these. For anybody who hasn't seen about them, Moore this week announced 10 new preamp pedals, which are all based off of... and this is quite interesting, actually. So they're all based on specific amps.
Yeah.
But from what I can tell, Moore actually haven't been that coy in saying what amps they're based on.
All I've seen so far is that photo with them all lined up, and okay. there was no identifying factors, really. I mean, there's obviously the pedals, you know, look a bit like the amps they're modelling, but there was no, like, text saying, oh, we're doing all these.
So Ola England has done a video on a bunch of these, and, I mean, it wasn't Ola England video, it wasn't a Moore video, but it seemed to be a, maybe not a sponsored ad, but, you know, it was like a video he had done for them.
Yeah, well, no one else knew about them and he's already done a video, so
sure.
I assume he's working with Moore.
Absolutely. So in there, he did four of them, and one was a Diesel Hagen.
Okay.
One was a Engel
Powerball?
Sambora?
Oh, yeah, possibly, yeah.
I think. One was a Boogie Mark III, and one was another one. Like, he did all the metal ones, basically. But yeah, not shying away from the fact that they're based on these amps.
Yeah.
You know, because there are ways of doing it, of showing off what amp you're doing. In the same way as... So I guess, really, where Moore are going with this is these are going after the... they're like a cheaper alternative to the Tech 21. What was that range called? Celebration.
It was where the VT bass. The VT bass came from.
They're called. They've got a name, and I can't remember. But it's not Celebration, but it's. They've got a. The name is got a series where they did like the Blonde and the Liverpool and the. They did a bunch of...
Just a load of amp modelling pedals, basically.
Absolutely. And that's what Moore have released with this. And so, like, there are some that look... There's one that looks suspiciously like a JTM 800. There's one that looks suspiciously like a Fender. You know, there's a whole load in there. And they look really cool. They look really interesting. But what I think Moore have done quite well with it is they've added a couple of extra features so that they're not just little pedals. So you have got like a soft switch on. So there's five controls and then a soft switch.
Yeah.
So each pedal has got a three band EQ, gain, volume, and then this soft switch. And this switch does two things. The first thing it does is you can turn on a built-in cab simulator.
Okay.
So you can then go. You can then DI straight from the pedal into a desk or into a
like mixer audio interface or whatever.
Audio interface or something like that. Or you can turn the cab sim off and use it just as a pedal. And if you're using it as a pedal, you can switch between two channels all with this one switch.
Okay.
So like you hold down the switch and it gives you, it's got the cab sim on, and then you can switch between two presets using the actual foot switch. Or you can turn it off. So, like, there's loads going on with it.
How do you differentiate between turning it off and changing the channels?
I don't know. They haven't said about that, but I assume it's something on the inside of the pedal. Is that like there'll probably be...
Oh, I see. So it can be... You could have it as an always-on with two channels, basically. You could use it like an amp.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I didn't explain that very well, did I? I think I explained it better when I wrote about it for Guitar Nerds, I think. But they seem really versatile and they seem really cool.
It seems like a great idea. I mean, we more have seldom done something that we haven't... They've got better pedals than others, but they always completely. Seem to get things pretty right. So I'm excited about this complete new range.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's a real step in the right direction. And, you know, Moore had a sort of failed foray into amps about 5 years
ago. They did the little heads, didn't
they? Yeah, they did the little... I think it was the Little Monster BM, which was a basement, and the Little Monster AC... and they just didn't click. Like, people just didn't get them.
It's a shame, because they were really good.
They were really fine.
They made the mistake of making them look like scale electrics.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that Moore have done. You know, they've... Well, no, it did. It looked like Robot Wars. Like, it looked really industrial. Whereas, like, the new stuff is... And all the pedals now. I think even, like, the newer pedals, as opposed to the first range that came out, they all look a little bit more serious.
Yeah.
And now, with this, like... this new bit of tech that they've got going on there, I think they're really doing cool stuff, and I'm really excited to see. I really hope they sound good. Like the demo that Ola England did sounded great. I mean, it was super metally, obviously, but like it sounded really good, really authentic, and yeah, good luck to them. I hope that this year is... I hope we see some cool stuff from Moore.
Yeah, me too. I'm quite excited to hear those.
I concur.
I'm going to try and get a hold of them. Let's see if we can grab some and give them the Guitar Nerds... Put them through the Guitar Nerds' paces, as it were.
You're going to get hold of Moore.
Indeed, indeed. Joe Branson, something you'd like to get hold of, because you like weird 60s-looking guitars. DePinto Guitars have announced some American-made guitars.
Yeah, this is weird. So DePinto are a really weird company.
Yes.
Because they are essentially a guitar shop in Philadelphia.
Okay, Jay, you know about Philadelphia. Is this information true, or is it all bullshine?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, they're a shop rather than a manufacturer, and they started making like Korean DePinto guitars. But I think the shop came first, and then the Korean made guitars came afterwards, and they were always like 60s inspired, like super cool. They're hard to describe. That sort of that sort of, like, you know how Albert Lee's look?
Yeah.
That sort of, but they look, 60s, like
they,
harmonies.
They look more
and,
kind of Jetsons than that,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's exactly that sort of thing. And those cool, like, tiger stripe scratch plates that were kind of going
yeah,
around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I guess they're supposed to be, like, wood, fake wood, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, it's that sort of thing, fake zebra wood. So, anyway, so they have gone and made... They've had an American custom shop guitar made... They're calling it the Galaxy 4. Oh,
yeah, which
great.
Is a model they already do.
Yeah,
right?
Yes, Galaxy.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
right. Yeah, they've done the Galaxy for ages in loads of different colours. The Galaxy 4 is named 4 because it has 4 single coil pickups.
Yes,
each of them controlled by their own individual push button on the top horn of the guitar, with a Jaguar style trem system, and yeah, they look absolutely cracking. I think they said they had 7 made or something like that. Yeah, they made 7, but 4 have already been pre-sold.
I mean, if you go on the DePinto website and click on the DePinto Galaxy 4, it takes you through to reverb.com, and it says the listing has ended.
Yeah.
So presumably they're all sold out.
Well, no, they've said they've got 2 that they're taking to NAMM, but
right.
That's what it says on Reverb.
Right.
They've got a little write-up on Reverb from the DePinto fellas saying that they're taking 2 to NAMM.
Do we know
so
how
I assume
much
they're holding
they
the stock? Yes, they are £1,500.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, for a US custom shop. And man, the write-up sounds absolutely great of this.
Because from what I remember, their regular line of guitars, which I assume is Far Eastern made.
Korean.
Korean made.
I said that already.
Oh, did you? Sorry, I wasn't listening to you. I never do. They're not that cheap. They're sort of £700 or £800 already, right, from what I remember. Maybe even more than that. And for the US one to be that much money, Well, that little money, I should say, is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The new USA Galaxy 4 is built right here in Pennsylvania. Blah, blah, blah. A three-piece maple neck with the sturdiness of a 70s Les Paul custom. The fretwork is flawless. Each fret is marked individually for high spots, then worked by hand to get a perfectly level surface. The frets are hard German metal. The nitro finish is like satin. This is a labour-intensive finish.
What's important
to me, inlays have a milky 3D swirl, which sets it apart from other ones.
I mean, that's all utter rubbish.
Yeah, yes, I know. They're basically talking about all the stuff that doesn't really matter. But nonetheless, I mean, it seems like these guitars are a real labour of love.
Basically,
I think that's super cool.
If your frets aren't German, don't bother playing guitar. Just give up. There's no point otherwise.
Yeah.
Anyway, that looks really cool. I think something different from them is nice. Hopefully that means we're going to see more US guitars from DePinto.
We could do. I mean, currently their website literally only has that guitar on it.
Yeah.
It looks like they're going to do, if you click on basses on there, they have about four models that all say coming soon.
Oh, wow, okay.
So it looks like they're maybe going to do a run of basses.
Hang fire on getting the modern stupid thing that you want to get and get a sort of vintagey stupid thing.
That's a good idea.
Yes.
Okay.
Indeed. J. Cross, tell us about the new PRS guitar Sonzera amplifiers.
Okay, so they have released two new combos and also a head and cab.
Okay.
So the Sonzero is...
Is it Sonzero or Sonzera?
Sonzera. Sorry, yeah, you're correct. Sonzera.
Sonzero, I think, is a better name.
Sonzero.
Yeah, it sounds like...
Sonzero?
It sounds like Zorro. Sonzero. Yeah, yeah. Sonzoro.
The mask of Sonzero.
Yeah, Sonzero. Anyway.
Sonzero. Carry on.
Anyway, it's, PRS moving back to... Because they've been doing amps for a little while, but I don't think anybody's really paid too much attention because I think they've been quite expensive. Now, these, from what I understand, are a bit cheaper, a bit more affordable. There's a 20-watt and a 50-watt. They're both 2-in channel.
That's cool. 20-watt is cool.
And they, and also the 20-watt head with a 2x12. And we were talking a little bit before the podcast about this, and Joe was telling me about all the different valves, and I sort of didn't really understand what difference it made.
Wow. The 20-watt one is super cool. So the power section, so both of them share the same preamp section, which is 3 12AX7s. But the power tubes, you get two 6L6s in the 20 watt. It's EL34s in the 50, which is quite predictable and standard.
Well, I guess that's kind of Marshall-y.
Yeah, exactly. But the fact that you get 6L6s in the 20, that's super cool.
It's kind of Fendery.
Yeah, yeah. I'm into it.
Yeah.
I'm really into the idea of this 20-watt...
No, wait, 84s. I'm thinking of 34s.
No, 606 is a kind of an Ampeg bass thing.
No, they're in loads of things.
I'm coming at it from a bass knowledge idea.
I'm getting confused.
Idea.
84s. I'm thinking 34s are Marshall-y. This shows how much I know about valves.
Yeah. I don't know anything about valves.
I know that 606s appear in Ampeg.
Good. That's good to know. Good to know.
So I'm excited by the fact that there are big fat bass valves in a 20-watt guitar head. That sounds cool.
Jay, do you know any other details? We got pricing or anything like that?
No pricing as of yet, as far as I've seen anyway. But they look cool. They are, you know, as you'd expect from PRS, they're sort of clean cut and classy looking. And it's a Celestion, a custom design Celestion custom V, I think they're called.
I think these are really cool. The PRS,
which I assume is like a vintage type speaker.
PRS amps have been really well received. I mean, they remain niche simply because they are very expensive, but
yeah.
They're everything that we've had from Paul Reed Smith's amplifier side has been as high quality as the guitars. So if we're getting something that's going to hit the shelves at a more reasonable price, then I think they are going to wade in there. There's I think there are a lot of holes in the sort of amp market at the moment.
I think so, yeah, definitely.
And I think we're just waiting for someone who can do like a good, reliable, valvey all-rounder. And I think this could well be it. I think this could be the year of Paul Reed Smith. I'm excited about it.
I was thinking for this week's Patreon episode, we could talk about what are our hopes and dreams for NAMM 2017.
Oh, yeah.
So we could talk about perhaps what is what we would like to see coming out of the upcoming trade show. So we could maybe talk about the dearth of amps in the Patreon. Let's do a couple more bits of news. Should we talk about the new Voodoo Labs Dingbat pedal boards?
Yeah, whoa.
This is genuinely quite exciting.
This is breaking a bit of a gentleman's agreement here.
Well, yeah, this is really interesting. So Voodoo Labs have released a line of pedal boards, I've only seen a little bit of info on these, but from what I understand, these pedal boards they come with a mains adapter built in. Is that correct?
Joe Branson?
I don't know. I thought they were just boards that were specifically cut for Voodoo Labs. So the imagery I'm looking at just looks like they have really specific cutouts in the board designed for Voodoo Labs, which is great because for years, obviously, Voodoo Labs have had a sort of an unofficial agreement with Pedal Train. So much so that Pedal Train even... last year redesigned their mounting kit for pedal supplies on their boards to be an all-in-one sort of like they only did one. They used to do one for all the different brands, and the idea of the new one was that it could do anything as long as it's Voodoo Lab, was kind of the thing. Like you could probably get something else to
do,
but it worked perfectly for all Voodoo Labs, and it was designed very much with that in mind, and sort of the new cutouts that Pedal Train had were much more in keeping with it. But they're still not perfect, the Pedal Train ones. Like, certainly, you know, you get those little, like, notched bits on some of the bigger Voodoo Labs things. There's still no way of really having those accessible.
Yeah.
And this looks like it's got a cutout specifically for it at the top.
That's for switching voltages on some of the outputs isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Which is great. So this is super cool. I mean, I still think Voodoo Labs make the best power supplies that you can get. Certainly the most reliable and very reasonably priced for what they are.
They've come to be the sort of industry standard, really, haven't they? Which is partly because of the association with Pedal Train, I think.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know what's going to happen here. It really does depend how good these pedal boards are, I guess. I mean, the pictures are obviously quite simple. They look not that sturdy.
They're weird because they've given them a lot of height off the ground by the looks of things, and I assume that's to accommodate the power supplies.
Yeah.
But that seems a bit weird. But I mean, it's a pretty basic design, isn't it? Angled slotted pedal board.
Yeah. But it looks like it's the actual slotted element is quite thin, whereas you've got sort of your Pedal Train works on those thick bars that support it either side, and then the strips across the middle. So who knows? I don't know.
We'll have to see how that pans out. Any information on what models are available, Jay or Joe?
I'm not sure. Actually, I thought you looked at that.
Oh, no, sorry.
why do I employ you?
So they do, yeah, it looks like they're doing four sizes, small, medium, large, and PUX.
PUX?
PUX, PX, which PUX. Very big. I don't know. What does PX mean?
Pretty extreme.
Okay, yeah. Pregnant xylophone.
Any ideas on pricing on those?
The small is going to start at $129.99, and the pregnant xylophone is $449.99.
That is a whole lot of money for a pedal board.
Yeah, and they go up. So it's 129.169.199.449.
That includes a power supply though.
Oh, it does on all of them.
No, just on the PX.
Okay.
The PX. So that comes with PX. It comes with a pedal switching system.
Really?
Not a power supply.
What?
Yeah. Sorry, just reading it a little bit further down. Yeah.
Pedal xylophone.
Yeah, exactly that. Pedal xylophone.
Voodoo Lab PX8 True Bypass. Oh, wow. True Bypass. True Bypass pedal switching system, enabling access to 36 preset pedal combinations at the touch of a button.
Holy moly. That's the most important bit.
Just reading here, these power packages they're offering are the board and a variety of power supplies.
Yeah.
And the PX is saying anywhere from $619.99 to $679.99. So presumably you can buy the board and a selection of power supplies.
I guess so, yeah. Probably the PX8, which I guess is a ES8 competitor. I wonder if it's got
MIDI and amp MIDI changing and stuff
oh,
like that.
I wonder, oh,
maybe.
Wow, Matt also. Knight,
indeed, indeed.
I'm really interested in this.
Matt Knight's going to need to move jobs.
A lot cooler than. Not cooler than I thought.
If someone can provide your whole setup, so a board, the power supply, and a switcher for $679, that's actually pretty impressive.
What a great idea. Why has no one done that before? That's genius. You can just pay one price, and then all you have to do is plonk your pedals on it, and you have a completely professional setup. Yeah. I mean, admittedly, we're talking about maybe 700 quid to do that, but nonetheless, that's super cool.
Yeah, I think those are going to work out nicely. Should we do one last bit of news, and then we have to do some questions, even though we're going to be
Is there one last piece of news?
Yeah, there is. Supro. Oh, In fact, you brought this to the table.
Did I?
Supro have announced some... they're American-made, aren't they? Some American-made guitars.
Yeah.
Joe Branton, give us some details.
I totally forgot that I totally forgot to look at this. That's right.
I love how you come in with the confidence of like, here's
we
this
should
great
be
story,
about these, and then I totally
and then
forgot.
Just didn't read up on them.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so it is super cool. So they've got the Island series and the American series. Here's the thing, like Supro are a super cool brand, but they're a brand that are back from the dead, and they're now sort of Eastern built. Amplifiers.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I was kind of expecting the same thing, like Supro are doing guitars, and of course they're such like a retro brand in kind of a similar sense to the DePinto, sort of that sort of 60s cheesy sort of Jetson-y style thing. I kind of expected their guitars to be the same sort of thing, like just like quite cheap, probably not that well made, but full vibe. And that would have been cool. I would have been into that. But they've actually gone and made really nice American-made, super cool, old-school guitars. So they've got the American series and the Island series. The Island series, they do a Hampton, a Westbury, and a Jamesport, which is a 3, a 2, or a single humbucking, kind of sort of Les Paul-y, junior-y shape.
Okay.
Guitar. The pickups are the coolest thing. The pickups have, on the Island series, have these Supro S sort of in, like, as part of the cover. So, I guess in the same way that Rickenbacker do.
Yep.
They've got their own, like, trem system as well that they've introduced on these that I was actually trying to find some information on and haven't been able to. Well, it might be the American series that the trem
it's the Americana in. Series.
Oh, sorry.
And I'm just looking at these. Are these all US built?
I believe.
Because the Americana series has got like 10 guitars. And the Island series has only got 3 guitars.
Joe Branton, you've come to the table saying these are America made.
Yeah.
Are they America made or did you just read it wrong and
did
they're called
the American?
Did
you look at the word Americana?
No. I reckon the Island series are America made.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't make sense. Joe Brent.
Yeah, it's true. The Island series are definitely American made.
Yeah, but what about the Americana series?
I don't know. I didn't
see
those.
Here, the
I wasn't told about those.
The Americana series are replicas of the Supro Rezzo glass instruments.
Right.
Which suggests to me...
that they're not American.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that the Island series definitely are because I was dealing with listing them at work and they are a lot of money if they're not American made.
I think you've read the word Americana and you've thought these guitars are American made.
I haven't.
I think you have. Should we come back to this next week when you've got some actual news before you jump in and say...
I thought we were all going to talk about
we need to talk about this on the podcast.
Oh, you're always putting it on me. Yeah, we do need to talk about it. Have you seen these guitars? Like, everyone, go and check... Even if I don't know the facts about them, definitely go and check these out. These Supro Island Series guitars look ridiculously cool. You can get a 3 humbucking Pelham Blue Les Paul Jr. type thing with the coolest looking, like... ashtray metal Supro humbucking pickups in there. They look super cool. These are cool guitars. They're also very much money.
We'll
How
talk
much?
About this more next week.
Like
when Joe
nearly $2,000.
Joe Branton's got some actual facts about these things.
Well, it would help if they'd put facts on their website that I could easily read.
And yes, we will. You know, this is Guitar Nerds is clearly the home of facts, and Joe Branton has done his job wonderfully this week. And because we're the home of facts, we're going to answer some of your questions.
Questioning. myself.
Yes, very good. I think you might have rescued it there. First up, Eli says,
yes, here we are. They have 14 new guitars.
Yes, you haven't said whether they're American made or not.
Okay.
Should we crack on with the question that I was reading, and then I'll leave you to read that? How about that? Eli says, hi guys, I know not many are into digital effects, me neither, but looking for a light gig ready solution. Anyone know which is better for clean sounds, Line 6 HD500X or Boss GT100? J Cross.
I never really got on with the HD series. I thought they were quite complicated. I thought they were the units themselves, I thought, were a bit clunky.
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge fan. The GT100 I thought was a great, really good piece of kit. But I don't even think you need to spend that much money. I think the GT100 came out, and then immediately afterwards the ME80 came out, and I think the ME80, which is about £100 cheaper,
nearly £200 cheaper, I think,
did pretty much everything that you would want for like a light solution.
Yeah.
There's a load of things that the ME80 doesn't do. Like, you can't four cable methods, so you can't, you know, put your drives in the front end and modulation through the effects loop. You can't change the order of your pedals, which you can do on the GT100. But like, if all you want is a decent solution, I think the ME80 is a really, really good, like, simple multi-effects.
Yeah.
The HD500X, there's just so... maybe it's just that I never gave it the enough time, but I think if you wanted to go down that route, if you wanted to go down the Line 6 route, you are better... It's a lot more money, but...
Yeah, it's like three times the price.
But, like, having a look at the Helix, because the Helix is... like a genuinely incredible really piece of kit.
I mean, the other option is Eli doesn't say what he's plugging into.
Well, this, like, is it. I mean, I read that as being, he said, a gigging solution. So I assume he needs the modelling as well. I assume we're not just talking about effects. I thought we were talking about an all-in-one.
Yeah, but possibly. I mean,
because if we weren't talking about an all-in-one, I'd point him towards like one of the Sansamp.
Yeah, sure.
GT2s.
No. What was
FlyRig 5.
FlyRig 5, yeah.
The problem with that is that you're not covering... It's not a multi-effects,
right,
as such.
Not,
I mean, it's got multiple effects
stuff,
in it, yeah, but it doesn't have, you know, a load of modulations. But what you could do is get something like a Line 6 M9. Because if you're going into an amp and you're happy with the amp sound... And you just want a load of multi-effects.
Yeah.
I think the best option is the M9.
I think the M9's a brilliant piece of kit.
Yeah.
If we're just talking about effects, again, I kind of read that as being like amp modelling as well, which, of course, the HD500 and the GT would do. Not very well on the GT side. The HD500 is great.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if it was like an all-in-one, I might be looking more at something like Positive Grid. Maybe you don't need to look for something.
Take a laptop is what you're saying.
No, get a Positive Grid and one of those Behringer like MIDI foot switches.
Yeah,
and
that would do it.
And a laptop. But I think maybe that's if you want a super lightweight solution, I don't think there's much out there that's better than the new Positive Grid. What is it called? The Bias? Positive Bias head.
Yeah. Yep.
I think it's really, really great, and it's £1,000, and then you could buy a MIDI switch to control all the effects that software gives you access to.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be busting the bank.
No, I guess so.
But I mean,
did he say affordable?
He didn't. But I mean, you know, if he's talking HD 500, I mean, surely you'd go for the more expensive Line 6 solution.
Yeah.
Of which name escapes me?
Helix.
Yeah. So there's some options there. I mean, I think if you've got an amp, then maybe look at the M9. If you haven't got an amp, I think the HD500 is probably still the best option, unless you want to start spending, you know, Positive Grid money or Helix money.
Think about, we don't know what effects he needs. If you don't need that many, then I still stand by those FlyRig 5s. I think they're the coolest things ever.
Yeah. Eli, let us know in the Facebook group. Let's do one more question. Which one should we do? Let's do... Okay, Michael says, what is a cheap yet good octave pedal? Basically, I'm unsure if I'd actually use one, but always intrigued by them. I do want to spend good beer money. I don't want to spend good beer money on something I may find out that I hate. Joe Branton, you're a fan of the octaves. What would you suggest?
Well, it depends
Michael
if he wants to go
for?
Down or up.
What about both?
Well, if you want to do... Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're all going to say what the best thing on the market is, which is the Electro Harmonix micro or now nano pog,
yes,
which gives you a dry signal on a rotary control, a sub octave and an octave up, and the tracking on it is incredible for a company that I don't think are someone that I'd look to for quality. They're more someone that you look to for something weird. And for some reason, Electro Harmonix tracking on all of their effects of this type is better than, I think, better than Boss do. I'm sure it's in line with, I haven't heard the TC, what is it called, Sub and Up?
Yeah.
Well, you heard it in the amps because it's the same effect.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
oh, well,
the
then
amps.
The low tracking wasn't that good on okay. that either. And, like, there have been some others. I mean, if it's just an octave down that you're after, I don't think I've ever heard anything better than the OC2, the Boss OC2.
Sure. I mean, they're not a current product, though.
No,
you'd have to go and...
you'd have to find an old
the
one.
The OC3, I think we've never been as happy with.
No, not at all. What about you, J-Cross?
I've never used an octave pedal.
No.
But when I was working in the shop, I always recommended the EHX.
Yeah,
I mean, it just if you're not bothered about presets, if you're not bothered about like really intricately nailing your sound, it's just like, well, what do you want? Do you want your dry signal? Yes or no? Do you want the up signal? Yes or no? Do you want your low signal? Yes or no? It's like what more could you possibly need?
It's all about tracking, really, I think. And
yeah, you know, completely. And that, I think does it very well.
Yeah.
There are, I mean, there's definitely reasons why you would go for the Boss OC3 if you want that much more mechanical vibe. But I think if you want natural sounds, then
the other option the OC3 has is it's got a separate function to give you the octave with drive as well.
It has.
So it acts as a...
It's a bit weird sounding though, isn't it?
It is a bit of a weird drive. You can't control the gain of the drive, so it's sort of a predetermined...
Is it one of those things where it's like the more you dig into it, the more drive you get?
Not really. No.
Weird.
It's weird. It's kind of like as undynamic almost as the DS1 is. It's just
it's
like
not having a DS1 in there, basically. Yeah. It's not...
How very weird.
Yeah. It was an odd addition.
So Micropog, I think, for all round, really.
Yeah.
With that, I think we should wrap this up. We've gone well over time. Thank you for joining us this week. As always, you can hear more of this, an extra half an hour of this on our Patreon page, patreon.com/guitarnerds, where from as little as $1 a month, you'll get some bonus features.
Much?
Or just the $1 a month, you will get the podcast ad-free and early. For $5 a month, you'll get an extra half an hour of Patreon content, which we are going to record now. This week, we are going to be talking about our hopes and dreams for NAMM 2017.
What else do you get for an extra £5?
You also get access to, well, not only
$5.
all the content that we've already recorded, which is like 100 hours or something now. You also get access to the mini series that we've been recording, which includes Branton's Rant On, where Joe talks about the things that he hates in the guitar industry, and also all the interviews that we're doing. We've got one coming out this week with Cynthia Schemmer of not only the band Radiator Hospital, but
Radiohead
of the band Radiohead, and She Shreds magazine, which is super interesting. Jay did the interview, and definitely worth a listen. And then for $10 a month, you become one of our executive backers, like these people have.
Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Andy Joyce, Steve Merkel, Blair Toms, Carlos Manja, Andrew Marco, Mark Cross, JD Short, Annie McKenzie, Brad Pitt, Paul Corrigan, Jack Godfrey, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Phil Thompson, Laurie Anstis, Luke Gravett, Colin Anderson.
There are almost too many people on there now for me to do that.
That's it. Yeah, there's only 20 spaces on that tier, and that those is 20 people who have filled up the spaces.
Holy
if
moly!
The only way we could get more people on there is if we need to save up enough money for Joe to go on that breathing exercise course,
circular breathing.
Yeah, so that you can
wait. Can I do it? Can I?
Can we just make him stop breathing?
Boot gravity.
Laurie Ernst just filled Tom's at
Frank Quine's got a brain.
Will Clare, Jack Godfrey,
Paul Gordon, Brad Pitt,
Andy McKenzie, JD Short,
Bart Cross, Andrew.
I could do this all day.
Please don't.
Okay.
Anyway, if you enjoyed that, you can see more of us over at the YouTube channel, youtube.com/guitar nerds videos, where normally we'd be streaming this podcast. This week has been an unmitigated disaster because of the internet, I think.
Yeah, sorry if you tried to watch it on the YouTube. It
and
didn't work.
Sorry if we've been a bit distracted as well. If you're listening on the audio, I think Jay's been trying to sort the stream out and stuff. But you can also follow us on Twitter at Guitar Nerds, on Instagram at Guitar Nerds. I'm sure Matt's going to post up some pictures from
who?
His. He's going to post up some pictures of his trip. I just post up pictures of guitars and stuff.
Pictures of his trip.
And do join the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. Guitar Nerds out for this week, I think. Cheers, gang.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.